Hello, friends. Hello. Happy Monday or whatever day you listen to this podcast. We're a brand new world. We got a brand new president of the United States. The original Richie Rich is now president of the United States. I hope you guys are happy with your new president. And if you're not, I hope you troll the fuck out of him on the internet. I saw some really good trolls. For Trump. The best part about Trump is he actually responds. Like, it gets to him, and that's what's fun. And that's what's real fun, is when it gets to people. I did not do the Women's March in Vancouver because I was in Kamloops this weekend. Kamloops is about 5 hours from Vancouver. It's a smallish city, I would say. It was a really fun show. A lot of drunk people. A lot of crowd control was needed, but at the end, it was really fun. It was a little bit of a shit show, but that is like an on-tour show. Like, that's just the way they are. They're not set up. They're not a comedy club. They don't have a spotlight. They don't have bouncers to tell people to shut up. They don't have waitresses that know to not shout stuff out in the middle of the show to order stuff. But it was really fun, and everybody at that show was awesome, and they bought me a ton of drinks afterwards, and Kathleen got drunk, and then I went back to my hotel room and passed out in my king size bed. The hotel was lovely. It was lovely. I like when you get a good hotel room. I didn't bring a bathing suit though, and I'm an idiot because it was a brand new hotel and they had a brand new pool. Sometimes, like, you stay at an old hotel and you're like, I'm not going in that pool. That pool has been there for years, but this hotel just opened last year, so I fucked up. I should always bring a bathing suit. I should always bring a bathing suit on the road with me. Stupid, Kathleen. Stupid. Anyway, what else is happening in the world? We've got that new president. Millions of people marched against him, which is, I think, fucking amazing. That's pretty incredible. That's pretty incredible that many people. But again, like, people are like, well, why didn't they vote? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened in the States. But it happened. And now we're all going to have to deal with it. Because it does affect everyone. When people are like, you're Canadian, it doesn't affect you. I'm like, it does. It affects all of us. We are now living to a very volatile neighbor. So let's be honest. It's a little scary. I ordered Chinese food. I ordered Chinese food at in Kamloops. And it was not good. And I always get so mad when you get bad Chinese food. Like, it was like chow mein that had, like, nothing on it. It was awful. Don't you hate that when you're not in your own town and you take a risk? I took a fucking risk, and it did not pay off. Well, I didn't eat a lot of it, so that's probably better. Short intro today, because I'm a little tipsy, because I just finished this podcast with your guest this week, Chris Griffin. Very, very funny comic, originally from Calgary, but now living here in Vancouver, one of my favorites. You might remember him if you've been listening since the beginning. He was one of the people on the episode where I argued about how shitty Kanye West was, him and James Kennedy. So I said, I had to have you back where we don't have to talk about Kanye. And we do get in a little bit of Kanye, but I'm tired of talking about Kanye. But Chris is so fucking funny, and he's so interesting, and he's such a good storyteller. And he's a good partier, and you'll hear more about that coming up on this episode. What do I have coming up? I've got some fun dates coming up. I started filling my own book. This Thursday, I'm in Squamish. I don't remember the place. So if you're in Squamish, there are posters up around Squamish, I'm sure. Come see me. Squamish is just outside of Whistler, if you don't know where I'm talking about. February 3rd, I am in Chilliwack at the Rose Bowl or Rosedale Pub. Love being in pubs. February 6th to the 11th, I'm out on, or February 7th to the 11th, I'm out on the island in Victoria. I'll be at the Camel Sun College on February 7th. I'll be doing some spots the 8th and 9th around town. And then 10th and 11th, I'm back at Heckler's, one of my favorite clubs. I'm really excited. So if you live in Victoria, please come and see me. It's going to be a really, really, really fun show. And it's like pre-Valentine's Day weekend. So if you're a dude, be cool and bring your awesome girlfriend out to see me. Because girls love me. Unless they're uptight bitches. And then, yeah, I've got more dates coming up, but you don't need to hear about them yet. So, yeah, I'm just going to do a quick intro. I'm not going to ramble this week. I don't have anything to ramble about, I don't think. Do I? No. Once again, thank you always for listening. Make sure you go and subscribe and rate this podcast. Tell your friends about it. Tweet about it. Send me a message. I love getting messages from you guys. It means a lot to me when you tell me that you listen. I really appreciate it. If you have any people that you want to hear on this podcast that is realistic, don't be stupid. Like, I can't. Don't be ridiculous. But people in Vancouver that you know of, or interesting people in Vancouver that don't have to be comedians, musicians, whatever, put me in touch with them. It'd be great. Yeah. You guys are fun. I love you. You always make me happy. Kathleen's been happier than she ever has been in a long time. And I appreciate it. And a lot of that has to do with you guys. So be happy with me. I hope you're having a great 2017. And enjoy this episode with the amazing and awesome Chris Griffin. Just talk about it.
And, yeah.
Talk about it. Why? Why did you do illegal things in Prince George? No. You gotta hold the microphone.
I know.
To your face. I just start my podcast. I never have like a.
Just do the thing? Okay.
Just do the thing.
Yeah. But yeah.
The last time I was in Prince George. Oh, no. Well, the last time I did that gig that you did at Dancio's, we all went to Alibis after. Did you go to Alibis?
Yeah, that's what the story is going to tell. But I was
You
walking
can tell
back.
That story.
No, it's not a bad story, but I was just like, it's embarrassing for me. And then I was leaving, and then, yeah, a bunch of people from the show were like, just come over here, which serves till 3, which was fucked. And then, yeah, we did that. But it was pretty fun. But then, yeah, some older guy, he was like, in the bar, he bought me a drink. And then at the end, he was like trying to convince me to let him blow me.
For real?
Yeah.
How does an older man try to convince you? How did he bring that up?
Well, he got like, he just sat beside me. I don't know. He kept talking about things. And then, because like, I love to make like borderline gay comments a lot.
Yeah.
It's funny. And then, but yeah, then I think he just got really drunk by the end. And he was like, he's like, we're, because yeah, it was just got weird. But
in a northern BC town.
Yeah. Yeah, which was strange too, but
I bet you there's a lot of oppressed men that live up there.
Yeah, I found Prince George of all the northern BC or Alberta towns pretty cool though. Like it was like weirdly there was a lot of nice.
It is fun.
Young people and yeah.
I worked with Johnny Prada this weekend. He's he's Johnny from Prada. Prince George. Johnny Prada.
Oh yeah, he is.
Yeah,
yeah, and he's got that Prince George head too.
He
a lot
loves
of people
it.
Are. Like Gaskin's from there. Who else? Is Gaskin from there?
He's from Prince George. But Johnny was saying how, like, it's a fun town to grow up in because it's just fun all the time. Like, there's just never-ending partying and maybe not good for you, but still.
No, I know. That's what I would, yeah. I'd be dead. And that's like, I started comedy late and I'm like, man, if I'd started comedy in my early 20s, I don't know if I'd be alive right
now.
How
old are you when you started?
I think I started 29.
Yeah, that's pretty late for.
Real late.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of catching.
How old are you now?
35.
Oh, we're the same age. Okay. Mm-hmm. Did you get like super drunk then the last night? Look at Rocky. Rocky just loves, man.
That's a puppy.
That's the dog of the house.
Did I get drunk? Yeah, I got pretty drunk. The last night with Owen, oh man.
Yeah, Owen, he's one of the owners around. Of
and
this
then,
bar.
Yeah, and then the guy who owned the other bar behind it, which also serves till 3, came out. So then it was just like back and forth across the alley between these bars. Yeah, it was so fun. But man, yeah.
It's so fun when people like treat us well. Like it's so much more. Like I was just in Kamloops this weekend and we just did it at a small bar. And the crowd was pretty rowdy off the top. Like they were just dead. But I literally like yelled at them and made them feel bad about themselves. And then it was such a great night and just booze was flowing and this lady kept on, she gave me champagne and she kept coming up on stage and filling my champagne.
That's pretty awesome.
It was crazy. And then after I think I did like about 8 shots of different variations. They gave me too much booze, but I can't stop when it's free.
Oh, man, that's my problem too.
It's like, yeah, and I don't want to be rude because I didn't drive, so I don't have that excuse. And then the bartender, like, he didn't make us pay, like, which was amazing, which is always amazing. I can't, like, tell enough comedy venues how awesome it is when you don't make the comics pay for their drinks.
And it's weird too, like, even just the goodwill that kind of gets into your heart if they're like, hey, first drink's free, even just something.
Yeah, or a meal, like, or anything. It's just like, oh, they actually understand and they care. It's a really cool feeling. Because, like, I've done gigs before where they come up to you at the end of the night. Actually, we just did one in Picture Butte, and the owner of that bar was such a shithead. Like, first, he said that we were getting a meal, and then he said, no, we didn't get meals, so we had to fight for our free meal, because I ordered a steak and a coffee. But then he, like, wanted us to pay our entire bill, and I'm like, I was buying people shots and getting everybody. He was making so much money that night.
Yeah.
And then he went back on what he said he was going to pay, because he said, well, some of the people in the room didn't pay, and we were like, well, that wasn't our fault. That was your fault for not collecting it. It was a big mess, but it just put, like, I would never go back to that bar ever again.
Yeah, and then even when I hear things like that, like, you put it in your head, and you're like, okay, I'll never
go to Picture Butte. Never entertain at this guy's bar. It was just, like, it was such a fun show, and it was a great show, and that was the worst part, is he was so happy. He's like, that was so much fun. And then he's like, I'm not giving you the money I told you I was going to give you.
God, I'm an idiot. Why? Like, yeah, it's such a bad, it seems, like, I'm not a very good businessman. I don't
me
think,
neither.
But that seems pretty dumb. Like, just nickel and diming it, yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite is when a gig starts, like a new one, and then it's like, free everything. And then you come back 3 months later, and they're like, nah, it's because the comics have ruined it.
Because one comic specifically ruined it.
So funny.
Like, and usually, most of the time, everybody knows who it is. It's usually one comic that is constantly taking advantage of the bar tabs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever done that. I mean, I can drink a lot, and I my bill, but I don't think I would ever, like, leave with a... Like, I've heard comics racking up $200 bills. I'm like, never.
Yeah. I've done some big ones, but I'll throw, like, so much money.
Yeah, like, I tipped the bartender really well last night because I didn't have to pay for it. And that's the thing. Like, if you don't make us pay, you will get a good tip if it's a good comic with some good ethics. Like,
yeah, yeah.
I was always told when I first started to treat the staff like gold, because they're the ones that will be like, 2 years later, where's Chris Griffin? Why hasn't Chris Griffin come back?
Yeah, and I was just talking last night with another comic where it's like the biggest indicator of your funny is like the staff, especially after they've seen a bunch of shows.
Yeah.
Like if you go to a comedy club and the staff think you're funny, you're like, yes.
If you can make a comedy club waitress, A, stop and listen to you, and B, laugh, you're funny.
Yeah.
Because those women are dead on the inside because they've heard so much comedy and they've dealt with so many comics.
I know. I remember I did this one gig in Vernon, and then I went out with the one headliner the first time, Stan Thompson's legend.
Yeah,
and then,
legendary Stan
they
Thompson.
They loved him. He killed it, and the bartender guy was just like, free drinks, and I think that was like a $150 night, but the guy, wasn't upset at all. He was so pumped about it, and then I went back months later, and I was opening again, and it was with a different headliner, and the guy was like, oh, yeah, it's great. He's like, we're going to have some drinks tonight, blah, blah, blah. And then the show went, they were really rowdy, but it took me almost my like whole 30 minutes to just get them together. And then the headliner went up, but didn't do that well. it got so bad that basically no one was listening to the show. And then I went up after, and I was like, hey, man, can I get a pitcher of beer? Like the first drink I'd had in the night. And he's like, yeah, it'll be $12. Like the bartender guy was so mad that the show sucked. He was charged us for every beer. Yeah, but that makes a difference too.
It does make a difference. I think like last night, it was a really hard room to get a hold of, but we eventually got it going. And then once it was going, that it was great. And I think if we had not done that well, it wouldn't have been. But it makes sense. Like if you do badly, you shouldn't be rewarded. But if you do well, it's like a bonus for you.
Yeah, but plus, and then sometimes I would say like on the road in smaller towns, like half your job is the performance, and the other half is sticking around and like
and partying. Out.
Yeah, I know it's a weird thing, but I'm like it makes people's night so much memorable and like
because the comic stays around and partied with us. And I'm happy
and the bar makes money too. Like just having us there, because that's what I always said. Like. For a comedy club, I'm like, because I think sort of Absolute has that where it's like, you know, the club just ends.
And there's a bar there.
Yeah, but if there's a bar and then you could just set a comic up with a few drinks and a corner table or something, people will stick around, like, the, you know, the Laugh Shop in Calgary does that, where they, you can go to the other side. And
yeah.
Yeah, like, it's, I don't know. I mean,
because comics are mostly social. Some are not, are really antisocial, but yeah, they're introverted, weird people, just like, but comics are mostly social people, and they like to have a good time. Do you ever go to, like, I have a rule where I no longer go to a second location with a crowd from the, with members from the crowd, because I had a really bad, like, night one night where I went to a house party, and I should never have gone to that party.
What happened? I have a good one too.
I just, like, went to a house party, and it just was like, it ended up being really weird and creepy, and there were some, like, serious drugs being done, and I was like, I don't want to be around these kind of people, and I just kind of, like, had to, and it's so hard because I'm a nice person. Like, I was trying to nicely leave. No, no, stay. We're gonna get you so drunk. And I'm like, I can't.
Yeah, you can't do it. Yeah, I had one in San Francisco. I went, the guy was like, same thing. It was, the dude owned the bar, so he was taking us everywhere, paying for all the drinks, and then went to another bar that he didn't own, but he knew the guy, and then he's like, I'll take you to this house party, and all the other comics left, and then I walked in, and the house party was just all dudes with, like, mega neck tattoos and face tattoos and just pit bulls everywhere.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I was like, whoa, this is... So I left, and then I ended up having to sleep on a bench. Yeah, that wasn't the worst one. The best one I had, and yeah, it wasn't awful, but it was when I learned the lesson, because I went, it was in Cranbrook, which I got to go back this weekend. Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Cranbrook, I have one for Cranbrook too. Cranbrook is always, people are super friendly there. Like, one time I had some people after the show wasted. They're like, come to our cabin. We're going to go skidooing. And I'm like, right now? And he's like, they're like, yeah. And I'm like, I'm not going with you. You guys are wasted. I'm not going to go skidooing with some drunk yokels.
Yeah. This one I went, like, it's grand. They're still my friends this day, but I went the first time to a house party, and it was kind of, I was just a comic and everyone knew each other. We just drank and it was a fun night. And then I went back the second time, and it was like three couples had come out to the show again that I knew, and I knew the one main couple, and then another one that wasn't at the show showed up to this party, and then there was just another girl that was like not in a couple. Well, she was, but her husband wasn't at the show, so I was mostly just talking with her, and then she's like, oh, you know these guys are swingers, and I was like, oh, are they? And I'm like, they're like, yeah, so it could get weird. I'm like, no, I was here like a while, like nothing weird happened. I'm like, what are they gonna go bang in the room or something? And then the one girl walked in with a duffel bag, put it on the table, and then she just started pulling out like whips and dildos, and I was like, holy shit. And
with,
then,
what kind of a bag? Just like a duffel bag,
like a hockey bag.
A hockey just bag?
Like, yeah, of stuff, like crazy things. And then
those are one, some giant dildos.
Yeah, some were, oh man, it was crazy. I didn't, but then the whips thing, and then the one girl that wasn't at the show was wearing sweatpants. She just walked up to the fireplace and like put her hands on it, she's wearing sweatpants, no underwear, pull her pants down, and then the girl started like whipping her ass. So then the other girl that I knew, that's part of the original couple, was like, oh, don't forget me. And then all the girls eventually, and I'm like, man, nobody would believe this, but it was, yeah, the one girl's on the ottoman thing, and then the other girls eat around the other girl. It was just doing that, and then, but then
and
the
all
dudes,
the guys were watching.
The dudes, yeah, started circling, and I was like, oh,
like,
man, I'm like, one of you guys gonna ruin this, gonna pull your dick out and ruin this moment. I was like, yeah, don't, but I was, yeah, and then I turned away for a second, and the one guy I knew was gonna do it, did it, and then just his dick was out, and then everyone just started banging, but it was amazing because I was heckling them,
like, while they were fucking,
yeah,
they were like, what were you crazy. Saying?
I don't know. I was just making fun of them, but then they're like, oh, you know, then the one girl's like, you're gonna get in here, but I yeah,
you couldn't join in.
No, I just not my, I think I'm too scared.
Really? Have you ever had any kind of group sex?
No, I don't think, not like that.
No,
not like, not that, like, no, I couldn't do that. Even the, yeah, it was, I mean, but I have no bad feelings towards it, like,
yeah,
I was like, good for them if this is their jam, like,
yeah,
yeah, but then apparently that. There's like a big swingers thing there, and if you leave your just like garage door half open, that's the sign. And then, but yeah, but then now I noticed that when I'll be like, is that just somebody letting their dog out? And then, or is that?
It'd
like
be
really,
so funny if you just like see a half open garage door, and then you walk in with a pull
bang
your pants down, like, let's go. You just go and fuck some dude's wife.
Maybe that's how it works. But yeah, there's a lot of rules about it. But
about swinging.
there, yeah. Like, see, I think, but I mean, when it's going, it's just, I think in the end, most of the people that were couples kind of ended up back together, but it, and then it just was still going on and I left. I was like, this is too crazy.
This is nuts.
Yeah.
And that was after a show in Cranbrook.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. When I'd already been there before, but I'm going to, they're still my friends.
Are you going to go see them this weekend?
They'll come out to the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll probably try to fuck you again.
Yeah. Well, the main couple doesn't really try to fuck me, but they're friends, boy, a couple of them.
They really love you.
I don't know. Yeah, I think it was mostly because I was just talking so much shit. And then they're like, well, get in here. And
yeah,
like,
show us what you got if you didn't suck so much. See, I have like, so I said my rule is I don't go. I try not to go. I try really hard not to go. But I have in the past, and you also do make friends with some people that have come to see you.
Yeah.
Like
that's the best when you go through again. And then, yeah.
Like I have one that a friend that, and this is hilarious because it's sort of like that story where I met him after a Christmas show in Calgary and he tweeted, come to this bar and you'll have free drinks all night. So Kathleen's like, okay. Yeah. So I went with a friend, with one of my girlfriends, and we showed up and like he bought drinks all night, company card and stuff. And then we just became friends and he came up to Edmonton. Like he had a good job. So he always had a business account. So we'd always go out and get drunk. And then I've been friends with him for a while. And then they came last year to New Year's Eve in Calgary. And he came with a bunch of friends, and then we went back to his house afterwards, and he just bought this, like, giant house in, like, southwest Calgary, like, a big, giant house, and there was a hot tub and everything, and we went, and I was drunk, and I'm like, can we go in the hot tub? And he's like, yeah, and I'm like, okay, and I was drunk, I was like, I got naked, and I'm like, I'm getting the hot tub, so I got in, and then this other girl was like, me too, and she gets in. And then she starts like making out with me. You've heard the story from them. And then the dudes both came and they're like, well, we're getting in. And then we just kind of had basically a hot tub orgy. And it was amazing. And it was really fun. And I would definitely do it again. But you can't plan an orgy. You can't.
No. And I think so. Yeah. And I think it's
got to be spontaneous.
That's a good story. Yeah. And this one, I could have joined it if I was that guy, but I just. It was just because
are you self-conscious about like what people will think of you?
No,
or?
I just wouldn't know where to get because like they're all paired up essentially. I'm like, am I allowed to do that? Because I don't know. I wouldn't. It's too many thoughts. I can't even if a girl like would want in the past or whatever back, like if a girl would want to bang me after the show or something like that, in my head I'll always think there's a conspiracy. I'll be like, what the fuck?
Me too.
I always think it's like they're gonna rob me or like. Yeah, something crazy.
I always think I'm a bet, like Rachel Lee Cook, and she's all that. Like, I always, because I'm like,
that's not too bad.
Because I'm a curvy lady, and I always feel like it's like, especially if it's a really good looking guy, then I'm like, I feel like I'm a bet. Like, it's a self conscious thing in my own head, which is stupid.
Yeah.
But
no, I kind of get that thing. I always think it's like they're with the mafia. It's like a crazy, because I'll be like, oh, yeah, they're going to rob me, or like,
yeah,
but then it just gets to the point where I'm like, fuck this. And then so then I kind of just made a rule where I'm like, let's. I'll do that.
Have you ever had a horrible, like, uncomfortable hookup after a show?
Yeah.
With an audience member?
Yeah, I have. Oh, man. Yeah, I had one that was the end of it. It was very early in. I don't even want to.
Talk about it. Yeah, who cares? Really, like, they're not going to listen.
Yeah, and then I talk about the craziest things on stage, and I'm so embarrassed to say them. But it was, it's too crazy. Yeah, it just was one where it ended, I didn't even know the girl's name. And then,
well, that's not weird.
That's not weird. That's weird for me, man. And then
that happens to me all the time.
Anything?
Not anymore, but it did.
But and then it was like, I guess we'll do this, and I kind of, because she'd been like, "Well, come to my room," and I was like, "Okay." And then, and then she just got naked, and I was like, "Oh, I guess we're doing this." But then I was like super drunk, and I was like, "I don't think my dick's gonna work and stuff." And then so then I kind of fell asleep, and then I woke up, and then she was just. You know, just kind of got on top of me, and I was just, you know, now I was in it, but then I didn't, I like, my brain hadn't started working yet, so I'm kind of, like, banging her, and then I'm like, oh, man, like, I'm not even using, like, condom, I don't even know who this girl is, so I was like, holy shit, so I got up, and I went to the sink, and then, this was my plan, was I washed my dick.
Oh, yeah, because that washes all the herpes away.
But then, when I was just in a panic, I was like, holy shit, so dumb, and then she came, I didn't close the door all the way, so then she came, and she just looked, I could see her reflection in the mirror, and she's looking at me,
washing
my dick in the sink. Like the
that's
worst.
Not something a girl wants to ever see.
Oh my god, I felt so bad. Yeah, and then she just left, and I never like that. story exists out there in the world on her end too, where she, like, how crazy is that? And I was just like, yeah, I didn't even have an answer. I was just like, I'm sorry, I didn't. Yeah, so that was it. I was like, let's not.
So you've never hooked up with an audience member ever again?
Well, that was really where it's like, let's not.
Let's not be so crazy.
Yeah, or like just first night kind of thing. I don't know. Yeah, I kind of really reeled it in because that moment will live in my head forever. But I don't know. It was pretty crazy.
Yeah, that is pretty like, that is responsible of you. You are right. If you had been in your early 20s doing this, you probably would have done stupider things.
I think so, yeah. And then, yeah, and that's the, because I mean, I did before comedy, like that Tucker Max tour and things. So I'd seen like a crazy life and even that.
You toured with him?
Yeah, yeah.
When did you tour with him?
Before I did, when they released the movie, before
really?
It came to theaters, yeah.
I didn't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, he's super smart and
he's an asshole. Yeah. I've read his books.
Oh, he is like
they're
that
disgusting.
In real life. Yeah.
Do you think
he's married with a kid now, so yeah. He's changed a bit. But yeah, he's definitely a narcissist. He has that, but also super intelligent. But yeah, it's I don't defend him like
yeah. How did you get that gig? So you just went and did comedy before him, or you?
No, I didn't do any comedy. It was before I'd even started. There was a comedian on tour with us, Bill Dawes, who we talked to.
Oh, yeah. Is he from L.A.?
Yeah.
He lived, like, in the Laugh Factory apartments below me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So he was on the thing, and then so we would always ask him, like, how to do comedy. He's like, just go back and try it. But I'd weirdly and coincidentally and even, I guess, serendipitously been friends with people like Denise Ross, who used to be a manager of Yucks. I was just friends with her separately outside of comedy. So when I went back to Calgary, I was just set. Like, I just...
You said to start.
Knew people. Yeah, and I tried it the first time, and I was like, man, this is... Because I used to be a writer.
Yeah.
That's how I kind of got in with Tucker. And then, but the writing part was like, there was just... it was like too lonely. There wasn't enough feedback. Published on the internet, I would do some things, and then the commenters, I think I was more known for, I would just agree with the haters that would come on. Like, they'd be like, this is the worst thing, and I'd be like, man, you're absolutely right. And then eventually they'd flip after they'd give up and then become like rabid fans. So then if other people commented mean things, they'd be like, you don't even know, this is brilliant. But it was crazy. But that was fun, but then I did comedy, and you know the first second. So,
yeah.
Like, you know, if something's good. And I just, yeah, I was working at a publishing job, and I was like, oh, I'm going to quit my job. And I think even all the ladies that worked there were just like, yeah, go for it. Like, I thought they'd be like, no, but they were just like, yeah, I think you should.
Yeah, there's, like I've said this before, there are people out there that just like, you, like my friends always told me I should do comedy, and then like I just never kind of thought about it, but when I finally did it, I'm like, the first time I did it, I'm like, yep, this feels right. This feels really great. Not that I was good. I was terrible. But like, just the feeling that you get a little bit of a high.
Yeah. Oh, it's the best high. And it's such a, there's no negative real downsides to that high either, except that you have 10 billion beers after and do stupid things. But the initial thing is great. Like, I remember my first set, oh man, like just like it was yesterday, and just like sitting.
Where was your first set? At Yuck Yucks?
No, my first one, my second set ever was at Comedy Monday Night in Calgary, which is a fantastic room. My first one was at Nathan's. It was on this Tuesday night. I don't know if you ever did that one.
I ever did Nathan's.
There was no stage. You just like would sit at a restaurant. It's mostly all comics. And then
I did a show in Calgary for Sue Hughes at an Indian restaurant, and the Indian buffet was right next to the stage. Yeah. So people would be getting up to get their buffet while comics were on stage. Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah, it's like you knew the first time you went up that this is something.
Like, for sure, this is it. And even like, and it's such a weird, because I always had said, even when I was in my mid-20s, I'm like, I'm going to try comedy one time. And, you know, people were like, we'll get everyone out from work. And it was like a big thing. And then, you know, I just never really understood how it worked. And then that you could do it, like, for a living. And then when I tried it once, you're like, oh, man, this is a real thing. It's not glamorous, but.
Did you tell a lot of people when you started?
No, I mean, my friend, like, everyone knew, and then, it's so cringe-worthy looking back, like, how they supported you and how bad, like,
you are,
yeah, it's like, oh my god, I was like, oh, those poor guys, like, and just after them being like, yeah, man, you're funny, but I think, I always say that to new comics, too, I think your friends are just so pumped that you're actually you're on stage, like, when they come watch you, people be like, oh, I'm not gonna tell my friends the first few times, I'm like, for your first time, I'd really recommend bringing your friends, because they're just going to not even be able to believe you're up there. So you'll get a free pass.
The support. Yeah, it's true. I mean, when I started, I didn't really tell anybody. I didn't tell my family. I told one friend because I wanted her to come with me because I was scared.
How old were you when you started?
24.
Okay. Yeah.
I started February 1st, 12 years ago, whatever that is.
Yeah, mine was like February 16th.
It's really, it's funny because when I was in LA, they always told, said like right after New Year's was like the new baby comic time because everybody would make a New Year's resolution. I want to do stand up. And then like 1% of those people would come back the week after.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, it is like a weird thing. It is a weird thing too, that because a lot of people think that it's super easy to do it, but it is, it isn't.
No. Especially, yeah, once you start having to, yeah, get past, like, a, even just getting a 5-minute set that kills is really hard. Yeah, really hard. And then when you have to, yeah, build an entire act, like, it's funny, people will call me, like, even Kevin Fox called me to do that Prince George show, and then, but he was like, give me a call, and sent me his number. And then I called him, and he was like, hey, man, he's like, do you got an hour? And I was like, right now to talk? But then he's like, no, material, you idiot. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm like, yeah, I do. But I'm like, but I have like a road hour. But I feel, you know, even I've had some other opportunities where people were like, come headline this. You got to do an hour. We'd like it to be more clean. And I'm like, no, I like,
yeah,
why,
we've never seen
why do it
that.
Yet? Yeah, like just, you know, I feel comfortable where I was saying actually to Daryl Lennox, I could do like a 45-minute set now. And if people pay $20, like, they got their money's worth for sure. And he's like, yeah. He's like, you're like Applebee's of comedy at this point. I'm like, yeah. Like,
yeah.
That's good. Like, you know, it's not the worst, but yeah. It's like, yeah. But that's sort of, yeah, how yeah, just even still, you know, being almost 7 years in and still not knowing what the hell I'm doing to a certain extent, you know.
Yeah.
So difficult. But, yeah, when people – it's so fun to see. I remember when I did – because I made a spreadsheet of my first 500 shows.
You did?
Yeah, which is crazy, but – somebody had told me to do that, but it was just like, it was just like where I was, the date, what jokes I did, where I was, and then a little thing of how it went.
Oh my god. And, really?
Yeah.
Do you still have that spreadsheet?
Yeah,
wow.
Somewhere. And then and it, yeah, and it's cool to kind of I've never really looked at it, but I can remember writing it, and I remember as I was filling it in, you could see the progression. Like, I haven't looked at it since the last day I decided not to fill it in anymore. But
what made you stop doing it?
Just, I got too many shows. Like, I couldn't even remember. Like, you know, I'd go on the road and do like 7 shows in 4 nights, and I'd be like, I don't even remember which one was which.
Yeah.
Yeah, just that. I just stopped doing it. But I remember like 2 years in a calendar, I'd put like, hopefully famous by now as a goal, and I'm like, holy
that's
shit.
That's so cute. Oh my god.
So embarrassing.
That's,
it's like,
so adorable.
And then I remember that date came, and I was just like, not even close.
Not
you
even
idiot.
Close.
Yeah.
By 2 years in? No.
Yeah. But 2 years in, you know enough to know that it's going to be 15 years if anything happens.
At least.
Yeah.
At least 15 years. At least. It takes, like, that's the thing is, like, everybody thinks it's like a quick, like, Louis C.K. wasn't Louis C.K. overnight. Louis C.K. spent 25 years getting to where he is. And all of these comics that are big now, I don't think there's many of them that you would find that are under a decade into comedy.
It's no,
really,
it's such a
rare.
Yeah, it's like Eddie Murphy kind of did it. Chappelle was like, you know, you get those phenom guys.
But, yeah.
And even they started when they're like 14. So,
yeah.
And they're probably, but yeah, it's such a rare thing. And then, yeah, I know. I mean, you look back, even like I was watching Brian Regan in the 90s. Still hilarious, but you can see the progression of that man who's like, you know, one of the greatest ever to do it. And it's just, yeah, you can, I don't know. Yeah. But that was the thing with writing when, like I said, it was lonely, you know, like isolating, I guess is what it is. And then the feedback isn't necessarily always there. Then, but also I was like, could I do this, you know, for 10 or 15 years that it takes, cause it takes the same amount of time to get really good at that.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I could, but and then comedy, I was like, man, I could just do this forever. I mean, it has its downsides, but
it is like a very big peaks and valleys kind of career where, like, you even like from week to week, like I'll be like, I've got nothing in my schedule, and then something happens, I'm like, my schedule is full.
Yeah,
and that's just like, it's really, it's a weird thing. But like, I think a lot of people when they start coming, they're in a super hurry to get where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And if you aren't surrounded by good people who tell you to slow the fuck down and calm down, you're going to burn out fast.
Yeah. Yeah, you will. And it, and then, yeah, there's people that are, it's weirdly the people that are in it for sort of the attention element or the free drinks, or because you can get, even at once you get pretty good. And if you want to tour, say, like, small town Alberta, you can, you can make you can get paid at least. And you can be a little, you know, sort of mini celebrity, even from, you know, relative to, you know, if you're just a 20 something year old kid. But if you do it for that, the partying, rather than doing it for the getting good at it, like, you'll see, yeah, those guys just disappear. They just burn out. And,
oh, the party animals burn out fast.
Yeah, so, and I mean, I party, but I also try to also do comedy too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to pause, stop for a second, because I got to Okay, so the party animals. Like, when I started, the party animal was Kelly Dacus. Do you know, man, Kelly Dacus?
I met him once. One time in Edmonton.
When I started, like, he was the comic that I watched. I'm like, yep, I like that guy. He had a joke about felching with sparkles on his face. Like, and I was just like, this guy's amazing. I love it. And he was definitely the party animal. And he would, like, drink. And he's just, like, so much fun. And he sells cars now. But he was, like, it's so weird when, like, somebody that you really, really, you thought, holy shit, this guy is the shit when you started. And, like, they just kind of, like, they're not in comedy anymore. It's really weird to think back at the people that you were starting with and see how many people are still in comedy around you were.
Yeah, that's such a, and then he just doesn't do it anymore? I didn't
know. No, he doesn't really do it anymore. Like, I think at some point comics are, they hit a point where it's like either I want to have a real life and I want to have real money, because that's always a big thing, like making real money, or I want to do this forever and I don't care how hard it's going to be. And it's just either or. And I think he just decided to, like, I'll have to have him on this podcast because I still think he's one of the funniest people in the world.
Yeah, yeah.
He started selling cars and he started making money. And I think once you get a job and you start making money, then it's hard to be like, hey, I need to leave to go for make $300 in Cranbrook for a weekend. You know what I mean? Know.
Like, yeah. It is such a, and then for me, I did have, you know, pretty decent paying job and a house and all that. But I had.
You had a house?
Yeah.
Did you sell it? Or do you have it still?
No, I sold it.
You sold it.
And lost all my money.
Dude, no. Comedy. Yeah.
The first 3 years of comedy, I just lived off that equity I had. I just toured and lost money. But just to try to get good as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Like, just because, you know, doing 30 minutes. And then, you make a lot of good friends and learn a lot. And because it's funny, all the guys, I could open for everyone, like you know, people that are my age, but that, you know, I'm the same age, but I'm in comedy years, I'm like way behind.
So yeah.
But it was great, like, because then I got to open with my friends, essentially, which they don't get to do.
That's the one thing that never really happened was, like, my friends that I started with, we never get to go on the road together because you're at the same level pretty much the whole time. And, like,
yeah, so unless it's a co-feature is, like, the only way to do it, really. But yeah, or just be, I mean, now even as you know I get the opportunities to headline and stuff, so if somebody might, you know, like Chris Gordon or Damer Hedge or one of those guys coming through, I'll open for sure. Like, just to hang out, because it's better than I would hang out with them anyway, like, for free. So, yeah, it's fun to go make some money and do that. But
it is cool when you get to choose your openers, too, which happens more and more.
That's just starting to happen.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, yeah, cool. Do
this. Like, I got, you know, Celeste Lampa?
No.
She's from a girl from Edmonton. She's hilarious. And she's opening for me at Laugh Lines in March. But I've never asked for an opener before, so I didn't know how to do it. I'm like, can I? And they're like, yeah, of course.
Yeah, like, I know. Sometimes they're happy for you to do it. Like, it saves them the work. Or especially if you vouch for someone that they haven't seen before.
Yeah, a new person coming into their club, and you know that person's gonna be talented enough. Yeah, my dream is to be able to tour with two friends.
Yeah.
All the time, just like two people that I really get along with, and
I think that's how even a lot of like famous comedians do that.
Oh, yeah.
They have it's like they're friends and then they're also super funny. And
Yeah.
And then that's another reason why it does pay so much, just to be kind of a decent person in comedy, because that influences it, like, for as far as people being like, hey, come out on the road with me. Like, you know, you'll see those guys kind of come in and start. And even if they have some talent, but if they're like cocky or think they're dicks, nobody's going to bring them.
No.
They'll just kind of like get pushed out.
I've heard comics say, be the fun person. And I always wanted to be the fun person that people wanted to bring on the road, because they'd be like, oh, I want to go with Kathleen.
Yeah.
And then you would get more gigs. I think you have that reputation, too, where you're fun and you're a cool person to travel with. Like, you're not demanding and you're not.
Yeah, I think it helps a lot.
It does help. You have to be easygoing in this. If you're one of those stressful people in the beginning, no one's going to want to work with you.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Yeah. And it's, I don't know. It is fun. Yeah. And then, I mean, that Prince George one that I just did was like one of my first ones where I didn't have, because you're just,
it's just yourself. Yeah.
I mean, there's the local comics, but, and then, yeah, you don't necessarily know them. But I mean, the second night was fine because Owen and the owner stuck around. But
yeah,
that first night I was kind of like, huh, I guess this is, yeah.
Like, yeah, that was my experience there too. The first night I was like, this is weird. And then the second night was super fun.
Yeah. Yeah. First night, I still had some fun, but it was like, but it's just weird not to have an opener or somebody, or, you know, another comic.
If you could bring two comics with you on the road all the time, who would you bring?
I don't know. I always go with, like, I mean, I like, yeah, just like Dave Mahesh or Ephthymias or Chris Gordon, all my, like, you know, good friends, Dino. So I like going to open for those guys. Yeah. I don't know who I, yeah, I could, there's so many.
But, like, you could choose any two comics. Like, even if it's just for, I would have so much fun touring with these people.
Yeah, for those guys I would have fun touring with. Yeah. If I wouldn't bring them to open for me. They'd bury me. But, yeah, I don't know. But then even, like, for now, when it's, like, you know, there's so many good young comics in Vancouver, I'm like, oh, man, you know, there's so many I want to bring out on the road. There's just not as much work in the vicinity of Vancouver. Like, you know, I mean, you can go Kelowna and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's usually, like, a 3-4 hour drive. But all the road work I still have back in Alberta, it doesn't make as much sense to drive
away
from Vancouver out there. Yeah. But I think that seems to be growing more and more. Yeah, then there's so many people here that just are more than ready for to go build a 30-minute road act, which is different, I think, than a club act a little bit.
I would definitely tour if it was for, like, really good comics and fun. I would tour with LeComber, Sean LeComber, and Christina Walkinshaw. That would be too much fun.
They're good. LeComber is the funniest. I remember that. God, I don't know if you remember that, but we drove up to you and I were doing a show. I was opening for you, and he was doing the corporate in Lethbridge across the street. And we drove up, but somebody somehow related in your family, a baby had died, and he just
to my family.
Do you remember that
was that was really awful.
Yeah,
yeah, that was my
jokes about the.
He's the worst.
So I
really hope my family doesn't listen to this.
Yeah, I know.
Because he's I once went with him and Paul Meyerhog. They took me with them to Kelowna.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't getting paid, but they're like, we'll share a hotel room. You can have one of the rooms and then we'll just all get to do the gig. Cause I hadn't done it yet. So they took me with them and they literally joked about rape for about 7 of the 9-hour drive. Like, they were singing rape songs. They were like, and to be clear, I was never worried or offended or anything. It was fun. And, like, at one point I fell asleep and then I just heard Sean go, "You better sleep with one eye open, Kathleen." Like, but the best Sean LeComber story was we were coming back from Kelowna once. We were driving through the mountains and we were just talking. And then we saw these cars all stopped. And then we drive by and someone had hit a little baby bear and killed it, like, on the road. And I, like, started crying. Like, I was, like, really upset. He was like, he was a normal guy. He was like, "Don't cry. Puppies, kittens, don't cry." And I'd finally stopped crying and kind of forgotten about seeing that. And then as soon as he had noticed that I had gotten over it, he just looks at me. He goes, "Kathleen, dead baby bear." "You're a monster. You're a monster."
He's the best.
He is one of those comics that, I mean, he needs to work hard, like push himself harder to get out there. But he is so funny.
Yeah.
And not enough people know about him.
No. He's just one of my favorite people to tell about. Yeah. No, but he just doesn't seem to have. When he talked to him, he's like, "Nah, I'm fine."
Yeah.
He just doesn't care, which is such a weird thing because most comics are so, you know, thirsty for any recognition. He's just like, "Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
I'm doing all right." But yeah, and Meyerhog too. That guy's crazy.
Meyerhog, Paul Meyerhog. Both of these guys have done the podcast, but Paul Meyerhog has been also one of my favorite people. I did an East Coast tour with him and we both nearly died about 3 times each. Like, we drank way too much.
I didn't realize he was that, like, I knew him and then. That was another one. It was the first time ever I've been on the road. I was on a road with a headliner, but he did doing a corporate in Lloydminster, and the guy just went to bed.
Who was it?
The headliner?
Yeah.
I was with Kevin McGrath.
He
was,
He
was just like, "Oh, I'm just going to go to sleep."
I always want to know who you went on the road with for the first time. I went on the road with Dan Quinn the first time.
Oh, this was the first time I ever went on the road was with Richard Lett.
Oh, my man. God.
Yeah. And then
was he... He was sober.
So he read
okay.
me the 12th
so you didn't get crazy Richard Lett.
No, different version. But the best thing is when we had to share a motel room and then we got in and then he's like, I'll teach you a secret of the road." And then he started undoing his pants and I'm like, "Oh man," because it was my first. I'm like, "Is this guy gonna?" And then he just took his jeans off and he was wearing pajama pants underneath. And he's like, "You wear your pajama pants under your jeans. Keeps you warm, saves you time changing, going to bed."
No. But that's like the stupidest life hack I've ever heard.
I know. That was, yeah, the tip of the road. I was like, okay. That was my first one, and I just laid awake. But no, the Lloydminster one was my first time going on a gig where the headliner had just, like, where I was just laying in bed dead sober.
Yeah.
Like, it was, like, 20 minutes outside of the city, so we didn't drink. I didn't drink, or I was driving the rental. And he just went, he had to go to sleep because he had to wake up at 6 a.m. or something like that. So I was just laying in bed, like, on my phone at, like, you know, 9 p.m. being like, I guess I'm just going to sleep. And then I was scrolling through Facebook, and then Paul Meyerhog's like, his status was like, hey, in Lloydminster at the Boston Pizza bar board if any comics are here. And I was like, what? And I looked out like my hotel window, the Boston Pizza was like right across the street. I'm like, man. And then so I went, he was there with a girl he was dating at the time, but they were sitting at the bar, and then I just stood behind him. I was like, Paul Meyerhog? And he turned around, he was like, oh shit, top 10 guy that could have walked in the door, top 10, just like, picked me up. And then he'd had the stack,
he picked you up,
oh. Yeah, I think he had a stack of like 10 gift cards. His mom would get him like a $25 gift card for the last like 10 Christmases to Boston Pizza, so he had the stack of them, like 200, and he's like, we're spending this all tonight. And boy, did we ever. But yeah, and then he ended up like throwing me through a chair as a joke in this other bar, and then security threw him out. It was this big thing we built up and planned, and then while his girl's in the bathroom, so then security throws him into the parking lot, and he's just throwing snowballs at security, being like, come on, you idiots. And then he's like, okay, for real, they'll let me back in. And they're like, no, you're done, dude. And then his girl came back from the bathroom, she's like, where's Paul? And I was like, well, that's a long story. He's not coming back.
Yeah. He is like, I have a good look. I went to Lloydminster with him too, and one time when we were there, we were hanging out with some people that were at the show, and oh, that was right, because I always did shows for this rugby club called Reapers Rugby. I did one show for them, and then they kept booking me over and over.
Oh, awesome.
So I brought him with me, and then so we were hanging out with him after, and there was one of them that was like, I think he was very into me, and Paul, I was not into him, but Paul was noticed this, and he goes, Kathleen, don't you need money? And I was like, what? Yeah, I always need money. What are you talking about? And he goes, watch this. And he goes, hey, she'll fuck you for $500. If you want to do anal, it's $600. And I was like, Paul. And he goes, shut your whore mouth.
Oh, man.
But the thing is, like, the way you sound. But Paul is like the sweetest, nicest, most wonderful human being ever.
I know, I'm just thinking of everyone listening
ever.
To this now.
They don't,
like,
you have to know this man. He's just like one of the sweetest people. Like, he would never do anything bad. And then that night we went to McDonald's, and I think they ordered like 50 cheeseburgers or something, and we just like laid in bed and ate cheeseburgers.
Yes. Yeah. Doesn't Meyerhog have the story where he pretended to be a cop and he got beat up?
That was him in wasn't Prince George. It was Fort St. John, I think.
Was it? Yeah, Fort St. John. Yeah.
Yeah, they were staying in a seedy, seedy hotel. He was with Jordan Chizowski.
Yeah.
And if I fuck the story up, I'm sorry, but this is what I remember, is that he was walking down the hallway, and I guess there were some hookers in that, because there was a strip club joined to the hotel. And so I think he said something, there were women hanging out, and he was like, ladies, I'm Officer Meyerhog. And they were like, what? And he walked over and he goes, are you doing anything bad tonight or something? He was saying he was a cop, and then the girls kind of freaked out, and then they told their boyfriends or pimps or something, and then they came out and attacked Meyerhog, and he got beat the fuck
beat him
up. But he's got a big mouth. He deserved that one.
Well, especially
he was being an idiot.
Those guys are people who can't take a joke.
No,
like,
they can't take a joke.
That's one place that people that don't have a sense of humor is strip club.
They don't have a sense of humor at strip clubs?
Well, I think, I don't know. Have you ever tried? I remember.
Have you ever performed at a strip club? I performed at Alibis with Christina Walkinshaw.
Oh, shit. That'd be wild.
Well, we went in and it was so funny because it wasn't really advertised. So there were some dudes there, and I'm like, these guys are going to be like, why are these girls talking? And why are they, why don't they have big fake tits? And like, yeah, it was fun, but yeah.
I did one because I'd never had a lap dance. And then I was with my friends, and then, and I really like Deadmau5, because he's a Canadian DJ, but I was super into him. And then they're like, they're like, you go to get a lap dance. I'm like, no. And I'm like, but I'll tell you, lifetime long bet, if a stripper ever dances to Deadmau5, then with that one, I'll get
a lap dance.
And it was like, and we drank, and it was like that same night, this girl for her third song starts dancing, and then that song came on, and she's doing her, and then I was like, bullshit. Like, and I went to my, I'm like, you called, you did, you told her to do that, or you paid her to do that, or you talked to the DJ, and they're like, no. And then I, I just took my shirt off, which the bouncer got super pissed about. I
was like, you take your shirt off all the time.
I'm trying to do it less now.
No, like, I love it when you do it. It's hilarious.
But it just, yeah, and then he's like, you got to get up, put your shirt back on. But I was like, no, and I was yelling at the girl. I'm like, they paid you to do this. And then she's like, you dick. She's like, I practiced my routine to this song all the time. She's like, you think I just play it on the spot, you asshole? And then I felt super bad. I was like, oh, man.
And then so you two fell in love.
No, then she goes back. So then for the bed, I'm like, oh, I'm an idiot. All right, I got to get the lap dance thing. So she takes me into the room, and the room was just like a pole and then a bench.
Yeah.
And then, but then I pretend, because it was my first one for real, but I pretended I didn't, I thought I had to dance too. So I was like dancing on the bench. And she's like, no, she's like, you just sit there. I'll do the work. And then I was like, okay. But I was sitting, like, I put like my butt out and be like, do I like backwards on the bench? She's like, no. But she was laughing so hard. She's like, you're an idiot. And then, so I started asking her about her life. So she pretty much just, and then, yeah, she was just like leaning on the pole, telling me like her life story, like blah, 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 and how she got into, yeah, cause she said she was known in porn for being one of the first squirters, a crazy thing. And then, but also I just, yeah, was making her laugh. And then she's like, shit, the song, it was like, there's two songs, I guess. So she was 9 minutes into about a 10-minute routine.
Yeah.
And then she's like, I have to dance because I can see on the cameras, I'll get in trouble. Uh-huh. So she just went. She just like bent in front of me and like spread her ass, like right. But she went right to her closer, and I was like, "Whoa, you can't just like."
Do you guys really want to see assholes?
Probably not. Like I.
Well, you're a guy.
I just bent talking to this girl.
Yeah,
like,
and then she's like, "Look at my butthole." Like,
yeah, I'm like, just start. Do the first minute of your dance, not the last minute.
Yeah,
like, I can't just go to your closing joke. You can't. You know, you got to do the premise first. And I was like, man,
you got to do the premise first.
I was like, holy smoke! Yeah, it was really funny. But yeah, she. Yeah, she came out laughing, and then she's like, that was so much fun. She's like, I gotta go, because I find strippers and comedians very a lot alike.
I've always similar. Said that, and yeah. I just say I respect them because they're a level above us in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, they get money-wise,
more money and more free drugs. It's the way it is.
And then, so she's like, I gotta go to this club, then I do another dance at this one, then I'm back here.
Yeah,
for like the tenant, and I was, but we were just like, we gotta get out of here because this, I think, yeah. Just because you seem crazy, but
yeah.
They party seems like every night of the week. But yeah, that was my only lap dance.
That's the only time you've ever had a lap dance?
Yeah, I feel that's good. I'm not gonna top that one, so I'm good.
Yeah, you're good.
I'm out.
I remember I bought Andrew Iwanick a lap dance in Montreal.
Oh my god,
Andrew Iwanick, because you probably don't, people won't know who he is. I've known so Andrew funny. Since I started. He was kind of like the first person that was nice to me on the, but he also was weird. But I don't know. He's one of my favorite humans. I just,
yeah, he's and hilarious.
He's man. Very odd, and he's very like shy. And I remember he did Homegrown, and I went with him as his plus one to Just for Laughs. And after Homegrown, he got second place. So I'm like, I'm buying you a lap dance. We're in Montreal. You got second place. That's amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah.
So we went to this strip club, and that was the first time I ever saw a booty clap. Do you know what I mean? Like when they can make their ass clap. It was just like this stunning black stripper. She was beautiful and just had like the greatest ass. And she was just standing there. She just turned around and she made it clap. And I was just like, I have a new goal in life. Like, I need to learn how to booty clap. That's amazing. I was so impressed. But then I was like, okay, you can pick any of these girls and I'll pay for your lap dance. So Andrew did. He was took it.
Drinking?
He had some drinks. But he was very awkward about it. Because like, even when I hug him, like I'm a huggy person, right? He like stiffens up and he just takes it. He doesn't hug back ever.
I know. Yeah, I thought he would just like melt into the chair.
Yeah. I think he was curious about it.
Okay.
Or I think he wanted to know what it was like. Otherwise, I don't think he would have done it. We also went into like a porn, like a movie theater kind of thing in Montreal because we went, Peep Show Place. And I remember we went down these stairs and we walk in and there's all these rooms and it's like got like neon lights everywhere. And it just smelled like bleach. And I was like, can we please leave? This is disgusting.
Oh, man. Yeah.
This is not, like, sexy to me. This is pretty gross. It, like, smells like bleached out cum. It's nasty. Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. But you're right. Strippers are very much alike to comedians in the fact that, like, they tour and they go to these small towns and they do a run at a club and then they go to another one. But I think they get flown out and they get...
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, like I think, well, I guess depending on what level of stripper
you are. I think
there's
ranks, yeah. There's like ranks.
I should have a stripper on here. I would like to know like the different levels of strippers.
Yeah, you should. That would be really interesting. And they'll have good stories too, I bet.
I did. You've been to Never 5 Orange, right?
once.
Well, we went together. Weren't you with us that night? We went to with Daryl Lennox.
Yeah. That was the funnest. It was like hip-hop night.
Hip-hop night. And they brought in, when the dollar was the same, that you could buy American singles. Because like in Canada, we don't have bills. So you could make it rain on these girls.
That was the coolest night. Even that was the music wicked. Was so amazing. That was one of my favorite
They do it all the time there.
It's the last Thursday of every month.
Yeah. I love Number 5 Orange. I've done a show there.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. It was in the Daredevil movie. Deadpool.
Deadpool, yeah. It wasn't the Deadpool movie. But Number 5 Orange is like, because when I did that show there, it was this woman, it's this burlesque dancer named Bloody Betty. Do you know Bloody Betty?
No.
She's like really like goth, I guess. Maybe I'm fucking this up, but she's like very like dark. And I remember she asked me to do her birthday show, and her birthday show was at Number 5 Orange. So it was basically a bunch of burlesque girls doing crazy burlesque. Like one of the girls like pulled a tampon out after and swung it and threw it in the crowd. I'm like, this is hilarious. Like they were, and like they're like, okay, we'll just go up to the dressing rooms. I go up and there's just like girls like running around naked. The period girl was painting her vagina red. I'm just like, okay, this is amazing. That's pretty cool. But then I did a spot there. First of all, it's really hard to climb up the stairs to get on there. I don't know how those girls do it in the heels that they wear not break their ankles.
Yeah.
Second of all, theater in the round is really hard. Like, I was doing stand-up, but I was just literally like, first of all, they didn't want to hear me. Like, they were there to watch burlesque. Yeah. So some people kind of paid attention. And they eventually did, okay. And like, but I kept on turning so I could get everybody's attention. And then eventually I was like, oh my God, I'm getting so dizzy. I don't know how these girls do it. Like, I just like pass out.
I've done like even comedy where it's more than like 180. Like if there's kind of people behind you on the stage. But yeah, 360, man.
Well, I had a new respect for Dane Cook after that. What was it, Vicious Circle?
Oh yeah.
I've never saw it. I don't know. Were there comics that you watched that you loved that you were embarrassed once you became a comedian that you ever thought? I loved Dane Cook.
Yeah, I did too, man. I remember like laughing so hard I cried. But I think Dane Cook, I really think he had a thing where it was that case where he spent, you know, 15 years developing almost that first hour or 2 hours.
And yeah.
I still go back and they're not, I mean, as a comedian, there's things you could be like, yeah, this guy's doing all act outs and there's not much substance, or you could hate on it. But when I was younger too, like, I mean, I remember crying, laughing at Tucker Max's book, and I read it now and I'm just like, it's just, but I mean, when you're 20, you just think different things are funny in your 20s. But yeah, but Dane Cook, but then it became famous and they're like, okay, do a new material every hour or like a new hour every year. And that's when a lot of, I think people kind of struggle with that because then it's just so watered down and so shit. And yeah, I don't know. I mean, when you're filling stadiums, why wouldn't you pump out another hour? But whether you got to get writers to do it or however to capitalize on the momentum. But then, man, it was, I think he maybe just tried to write it himself, but it was not good. Like if you look, even I go back and watch his later specials and you're just like, man, but he's got such a bad reputation too. Like,
yeah. I mean, I remember when I was down in LA and I would hang out at the Laugh Factory. I think he's banned from there now. I think there was like a big fight or something. Too, yeah. But when I was there, he was still there all the time and the waitresses all hated him. They were like, he's disgusting. He grabs my ass all the time. I don't know. And then I would watch him and I'm like, I'm going to give him, I would never, ever criticize a comedian until I saw them live. I really think that's the only way that you could fully get your full judgment on a comedian. You have to see them live before you discount them. And I watched him and it was just like, whether he was working on new stuff or not, there was nothing there. Like, he talked about sweatpants for 5 minutes, but he basically was just bending and it was just... But you're right. It was that whole thing of like he had 15 years to build that hour and it was a solid fucking hour.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, even if you go back and look, like it's good. Like, and people would say he would kill in LA. Like, he was like, you know, standing ovation every night. And then, but if you listen to him in interviews, it's like he's just kind of he's not in touch, I don't know, with himself or with humanity, but he's missing something a bit. Like, it's weird how he's just kind of, and I think if you're not connected in, he's not going to be able to develop. Like, I think he's trying to be like, oh, I'll do some real material and this and that. And he did get fucked over. Like, I think his brother stole all his money.
Yeah, that's
some
true,
shit. And both his parents died. So that's not easy to go through. But I think ultimately what it comes down to is that he just has that shitty reputation. And that's such a...
Yeah, and a bad attitude. And that's the thing I love about comedy is that it'll all come out in the wash in the end. Mm-hmm. Like, you could be super famous because you had that good hour. But if you can't keep it up, if you don't have the writing chops or the whatever... Or you don't have that thing that really great comedians have. You're not going to, it's like, so it's just like comedy will always, the really strong ones will survive. That's the thing. You just have to stick it out. And
I always think like every great comic I've met, like every, like, you know, I got to open for Norm this year and that, or last year, and I got to open for Doug Stanhope, who was, you know, like, it's just insane to me that I'm hanging out with these guys, because I used to watch them and be like, holy shit. And I mean, I still watch them and like, holy shit, but just to be there then, but they're all awesome. Like, they're so cool. Like, Brian Regan's coming through and he's hanging out, you know, he's in Calgary hanging out at the Comedy Cave. He pops in, like, to watch people, not even to do a set, just to watch comics do a set. And it's like, everyone I've met that's great, it has been like an awesome person, and not,
and they're still in love with comedy.
Yeah.
And they don't want to, they're not doing this to get a movie deal.
Yeah.
They're not doing this to get on TV. They're doing it because they love stand-up comedy.
Yeah.
And they just want a tour. Like, that's all I want. I just want a tour. I want to do theaters eventually. Everyone's like, well, don't you want to get into movies and stuff? And I'm like, I mean, I would never be like, no, I'm not. If someone's like, here, Kathleen, make a movie and make a bunch of money. Yeah. I wouldn't be like, no, my heart is in stand-up.
Yeah, I know.
But it's not my end goal. My end goal is just to be a comedian. Like, yeah, it's always been too. That way.
Like, I really, yeah, that's just what I love the most. Like, I love doing that. Yeah, thing. And then I think it's even cooler with someone like Norm who can play the theaters, but he prefers the clubs. He's like, I'd just rather do that. And it's, I mean, he still makes more money in a weekend than I'd make in a year.
There's so, nothing better than like being in a club, a 200 seater or less, and just killing and feeling it, because everybody in that room can feel that energy and that electricity. Everybody leaves being like, that was fucking amazing.
Yeah, because it's designed for that. And when Louis C.K. came through this last time, because I saw him at the stadium he played at, and I saw him at Kino, but that show, for some reason, just at the Mix when it was like in a comedy club.
Yeah.
Saw him there and just like, just had that. I think he did, you know, 20 minutes right in the middle, but it was such a cool thing to see him, you know, like, you know, do his second of crowd work and then just light it up.
Yeah.
Man, that's what comedy is. Like, that was like it's going to be tough to top that moment too, where you're just like, holy shit. Yeah. So I don't know. But yeah, I love the club is where it's at. And then there's so many good clubs too in Canada and in the States, but
I get when you get big enough and you can go from city to city. But the other thing I like about touring is that you get to spend a weekend in a city.
Yeah.
And you get to, it's like a free vacation, you know. It's like, I love going to Halifax. Halifax is one of my favorite places. So I've been there probably about 8 or 9 times now. And every time I go back, I discover something new there. And it's just like cool town and very cool people. And I'd much rather spend a week doing a club than just like come in one night and leave the next morning.
Yeah, I know. I love that feeling when it's like, oh, you're here for 3 days, even 2 nights. You're just like, oh man, I don't have to. Yeah. Like,
I don't have to pack up again. It's tough when
you're doing like one and then you got a, you know, 6-hour drive and another one. Yeah. Yeah, you can actually just like, yeah, in 3 nights, perfect. Yeah, I love doing that.
Perfect.
Too. And I remember I used to get so pumped, like when I just have my own hotel room. I'm like, yeah. Oh. But still, sometimes in my head, I'll be like, remember how excited you were before? Because you do get used to it.
Oh, you get jaded. You get a little bit like, even this weekend, I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to Kamloops. Like, and then we get there and the hotel's gorgeous and I'm like, okay, we're staying in a nice hotel. I have a big king size bed. And then we get to the show and the show was really fun. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad I got to go to Kamloops this weekend. It's just, it's weird because you definitely sometimes take it for granted how lucky you are to be touring.
Yeah. And then if you do the real shit gigs where you're like sleeping, it's more awful and you're like, man. Yeah, so it's nice when it's just a normal hotel.
Did you ever do Bob Angeli gigs from the Comedy Factory?
Nope.
Maybe that was just like an Edmonton comedy thing.
It was. I knew of him, but I just didn't do it. There's a few guys, but I was lucky enough, again, starting later and just having people in the business that were just like, just don't do this one. Like, just avoid it entirely. And I was like, okay.
I remember being thrilled to go to Fort St. John for $100.
Yeah, I know. I used to do drive to Grand Prairie from Calgary. It was like
no gas 9 hours money
in the winter. Yeah, for I think it was paid. Now pays even less apparently, but it's like $175 to open. But by the time you split gas,
you're not making anything. You're actually paying to do comedy.
Yeah,
it's like, and he would always like one time he was like, "Hey, take my Esso Extra card and get me points. Stop at Esso when you fill up," and I was like, "No, I'm not getting. You're not giving me gas money. I'm not giving you points." There are some crazy people in this industry, just like, and there are people that take super advantage.
Yeah, you really prey on that.
Yeah. And like, especially new comics, because the thing about comedy is people are just so excited that people want them to perform for them. That yeah. they're getting, when you first, like, I look back at my old, like, Moleskins, I had Moleskine calendars, and look back, and I'm just like, look at all these terrible shows I was doing, and I was so excited to do them.
And yeah, I know, you're so pumped. But then, yeah, and it was, and all, there's a lot of headliners, too, that took me out, and I really remember, like, never forget that, how they, you know, took, some would just take care of everything, and you're yeah. an opener, yeah, and then that was pretty special too.
Dan Quinn did that for me the first time we went to Prince George together. He's like, I'm buying you your meal. The headliner always buys a meal.
Yeah, some of those guys got that old, which is awesome, and yeah. I do that now too. I always like,
I always try to, but sometimes I'm not making enough
no,
money.
No, it depends, like, yeah, how it is, but if it is like that, I'll be honest.
If I'm making good money, yeah. yeah, absolutely, but yeah, it's not always great no. money when you're going out anymore, but it's fun. It's still very fun. Do you still work at that cool place?
Yeah, the software company. Yeah.
Do they still allow you to use that party room?
They never did.
They never, Kate. Okay. No, can we talk about that no. at all?
Not until I'm fired. Not until I'm fired.
Oh my god! Because that. Yeah, when you're fired, well, you'll
yeah,
have to come
next,
back on.
Yeah. next
because
time.
I always, whenever we went there, I was like, "Are we?"
Yeah, that was. I mean, yeah. Not good. I don't know. And it's funny too, because yeah, the other in when I was in Prince George, I just thought of this. A thing I get recognized a lot for, or people bring up, is, and it happened again in Prince George, is when James Kennedy and I destroyed you, like on the Kanye West.
Oh, episode. Destroyed me! Fuck
yeah,
you!
Yeah, whatever, like however you want to say it. But yeah, everyone's like, "Oh my god, that was the time."
Oh yeah, a lot of people
blew out of the water. Yeah, but no, it's happened
a lot
like,
of
several
people.
Times.
Definitely, yeah,
yeah,
definitely.
For real
I'm
though.
Sure. Oh, I'm
no.
sure.
You don't believe me?
No, I don't believe you. I don't believe that many people listen to this podcast.
I know. Well, it's been like three, but that's significant. I've never had three people say they like my.
Who
comic.
Said that they remembered? You didn't destroy me on that huh? at all.
Well, I'm just saying what the words they used. I,
okay,
yeah,
sure.
I'm not making any judgment.
That's fine. Hey, listen, I still don't like Kanye, but I will never say his music is bad. I just don't like him.
Yeah.
And Graham Clark was the best person that ever explained it to me. And when he explained it to me on the podcast he was on a couple weeks ago, and he explained it to me, I'm like, okay, see, that makes sense.
What did he say?
He just said it really calmly, and I don't totally remember exactly right now, but he just kind of was like very calm about it, and like, wasn't like all like, he's a genius, yeah. he's a baby genius, like shouting in my face.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I can see it. And then I just don't understand why you guys are so passionate about somebody that you don't know and will never meet probably. And or if he met you, wouldn't give a fuck
wouldn't
about
care.
You.
Yeah. No, I think it's, yeah. Well, my whole argument, I think, is that his music is great. But it's annoying when people are like, his music sucks. And I'm like, I mean, and it's subjective, but
yeah.
objectively, he's accomplished a lot.
He's accomplished a lot, and his music might not be for everyone. Like, it's just, people might not like it. Some people might say Garth Brooks sucks, and like, you know what
yeah.
I mean? Like, he's accomplished a lot as well.
Yeah, he's, yeah.
You know, like, you have to think about it that way. It's just that you like that kind of music.
I do, but I also like, what, and which is weird, because I mean, with the Tucker Max thing, and even with Kanye, I like people that are, like, I
kind
like
of a dickhead?
Instigators. Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, not to that extreme, like, I think that ends up hurting them more, but I do like when people get annoyed, like, it's one of my favorite, when people just get upset, about something that's, you know, a person you're never gonna meet or anything, like,
yeah.
how does this person upset you so much, but then... Fuck, there's people like Trump, where now he becomes president, and you're like, holy shit.
Now he's
like,
affecting
this is not
things.
Good at all.
Yeah.
yeah.
Now
like,
it's
wow.
not a joke
yeah.
anymore. Now no. this is serious, and this could affect you. Yeah. yeah. I mean, like, I think that Kanye has dialed back a lot. I think that with the robbery, I think they kind of realize we're being assholes, and somebody is going to do something terrible to us.
Maybe, yeah. I think he's definitely got, like, some mental health things, because he was very manic during
yeah.
the release of his album, and... And, yeah, apparently he's working on another one, but I don't know. Yeah, it was a good podcast, I think. I mean, people were always like, you should just have taken it easier.
You're such an idiot. Like, nobody has ever said that to you about that podcast.
No, they said it. Well, no, people have just brought it up. But I don't think
who brought it up?
Oh, I can't remember his kid's name. He's very funny up in Prince George.
Oh, and he talked about it, and he loves Kanye, too?
No, he just mentioned the podcast.
Yeah.
I didn't know where he weighed in on the side of it, but
yeah,
it's a good kid.
But he said that you guys destroyed me.
Yeah, that was his exact words.
Exact words.
Then, yeah. It was Michael, was it? Yeah, he's a funny kid.
Funny kid. Like, yeah. Would you, like, so, if Kanye asked you to come and like work for him, would you go work for him? Yeah. A quick comedy?
Not quick comedy. No way.
No. Just keep doing comedy?
Yeah, I would never just go work for Kanye. But yeah. If he was like, come meet me, I'd be like, hell yeah, I would do that.
Come meet me, and then he'd be like, I have a rap trick for you. And then he'd pull his pants out and be like, wear your pajama pants underneath.
So I'd blow him.
You would blow Kanye?
No, I wouldn't.
You would.
No, I wouldn't.
You would.
No, I wouldn't.
You and James together. James would play with the balls, and you would suck the dick for a bit.
Why do I suck the dick? No way.
You would. You would. Because
no, I would basically nothing sexual. I don't do that anymore.
I love how you have so many stories about guys like hitting on you. Do you pretend to be a little bit gay? Or
I think I just don't. I do definitely like.
You don't treat people like you're a faggot. Like you don't say horrible things, right?
But it just doesn't. I think, and it's weird, but in some way, I'm just, you know, I really like women, and I'm so, I'm, you know, I guess just like comfortable and confident with what I like. The joking about gay or be doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't even faze me. Like if a dude hits on me, it's like when the dude at the thing, Prince George, just, you know, as he got drunk, was just over aggressive. Where he's like, "Can you please, like, I'll do that." Now that's happened a couple of times. So I think I'm more attractive to.
He was saying, "Please, please suck my dick."
No, he would suck my dick.
Oh, he wanted to suck your dick.
Which is we were talking about that after. I was talking, which is a weird thing that happens. Like dudes will offer that. They'll be like, "Just let me blow you." Like it's a,
wow.
It's a, yeah, it's a weird thing, especially if you're straight. Like it's a thing. Weird. I've had a few guys like tell me about it, and I've had guys even offer me money. But I think it's because I just don't.
I think it's probably also like a turn on to hit on a straight man, and
I think it is.
Maybe
and if you get him, that's a big thing.
To turn a straight man, yeah.
Guys like, tell me that, yeah.
I've watched gay porn where it's like a gay man has sex with a straight guy, and I'm like, this is actually very hot.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I don't know.
You're like, I don't know how hot that is. No, it is. It was interesting. It was good.
I could see like. That would be totally. But yeah, for me, I don't know. Like,
what if he said, "I'll give you $10,000 to blow you"?
No,
wouldn't do that.
No, because I mean, what's $10,000?
It's a lot. Like,
yeah, I know.
And you get a blowjob at the same time.
I know. That's a funny. A good friend of mine told me. I should tell him to tell that story. But he was telling me a story where when he was short on rent, he would let a guy blow him, but he would just read a porno mag with women, and I was like. Huh, man, like that's...
Yeah, you're getting a blowjob, you get $10,000, you don't have to tell anybody. I think it's just still, it's still hard for men, like women make out with girls all the time. I've had sex with girls before and it's not like, ew, I'm gross, right?
No,
it's sexy.
That's super cool, yeah.
But like, dudes still don't have that thing of like, and it's so funny because I've seen some of you guys hang out together and I'm like, they have to be fucking. They're like having, like, they're taking their shirts off. They're hugging each other. Like, you have to be fucking. But like,
yeah, it's so funny. I don't know if it's, and then again, I'm not sure if it's just programmed in from life, but like my aversion to dudes is so, like, it feels to me biological. Like, I'll just be like if I was watching a porn and then there's dude is too much in it, I'll be like, oh, fuck. Like, it just grosses me out, but I don't know. Yeah, if I'm, I feel, because there was never a time like where I was uncertain. Like, I remember liking girls from this young, but then I just feel that when people are like a dude's, like, I've liked dudes since before I can remember.
Yeah,
I would identify that equally as much as for me liking girls.
But yeah,
yeah. There's, I don't know. There's just dudes. I'm like ah, fuck. Like, I just don't.
I
like
wish
it
would be more acceptable, so you guys could blow each other some of the times.
I think the world would fall apart, though. But it would be great.
I think the world would fall apart. I think the world would get better. You guys would be like, my girlfriend won't blow you. Won't blow me. Can I come over?
Yeah, maybe.
And then you'd get that aggression out. You'd get your blowjob and everything.
Yeah, but
nothing
would
get done. And then you could sit
done.
And drink. Well, yeah. That, well, no,
because
no,
the testosterone,
for the first few
the aggression
months.
Gives you motivation to do stuff. You're like, I gotta do stuff so I can get blowjobs. But if you're just getting them all the time. Yeah, I don't know.
It's a that would be an interesting study to do to see if
why the world would be, because as soon as you start repressing sex,
anger
things go up. I feel it's a pretty good correlation. Yeah, so it probably would be a better world. But yeah, I look at dudes like if I was like to bang like a grandma, they're like, I'm just like, my body is just like, no, I'm just not interested in doing that. But
yeah,
I don't know. I would feel weird if I'd feel like I forced myself to do it if I did like bang a dude. Like, oh yeah, I don't
know.
Yeah,
you are heterosexual. That's all.
Yeah.
And you're not saying it's gross to you. It's just like, I mean, it's not something that you are interested in doing, so that you're just, because you keep on going, ugh, ugh.
Yeah,
like, you don't mean that being gay is being gross, but just
no,
not
I don't
for
think
you.
So at all.
For
yeah,
you.
Just,
yeah.
But it doesn't bother me at all. Like when people are gay, like, Yeah, I even think, yeah, if there was, like, two dudes banging in the corner, like, I wouldn't watch it, but I also would just be like, man, if that's, they're doing that thing, but I wouldn't
ever join it. You would just have two guys on that chaise lounge over there.
Yeah, I would look away and be like, cool, man. Well, actually, probably, their noises gross me out, too. Yeah, I don't know, but
it's, even if a heterosexual couple was banging over there, we'd probably be like, I would can heckle you guys? Them
like yeah. Another, yeah.
Like, what is a heckle when people know. Are fucking?
I just remember I was killing it, and then the girl, like, I was making fun of it. I'll be like, oh, that's how you're, like, that's it, or you're doing it. I don't even remember what I was saying, but then
you were telling a girl how to eat a pussy?
I think this is, I started the real heckling when the dudes got, because I started heckling the dudes, and I was like, oh, you're going to take your dick out, who's going to ruin it, and then they were doing that, and then I was, like, making fun of the way everyone was banging, but ridiculously, and then, yeah, the one girl came, she's like, she's trying to blow me. But I was like, no, I just...
Look at you turning down blowjobs all over the place.
I know. That was just the only one. Well, and then, yeah, the... From girl... I don't know. It's never... It's weird. Yeah, that is a weird thing.
Have you ever been in a dangerous situation on the road? Like, my one was in Cranbrook. And I was at that... Did they still have Shotgun Willie's or Shotgun Pete's?
So, yeah. I'm going there this weekend.
I love that bar. It's like this back alley bar. It looks
like... The best thing is that, it goes the same every time. So you show up at 10, and then there's like a lot of girls there. And then at 11, the dudes start coming in. And then at midnight, the girls start leaving. And more dudes keep pouring in. And then by 2 at last call, all the dudes spill into the parking lot, punching each other out. And then the police station's in the parking lot, too. So those guys just arrest people. Like... They go right out of the bar into the drunk tank. It's like the dumbest thing, but it's so funny to watch. And when you tell people, they don't believe it. I'm like,
yeah, bar is one of my favorite bars in the world.
It's so fun. It's so fun just to sit. You don't even have to do anything. You just watch. I remember I took like Arthur Simeon from Toronto, and you know he's like,
oh my god, like,
it was awesome.
I remember when I went there the first time. I went out to order, and I was like, a vodka soda, and they were like,
get the pitcher.
Do you want? Yeah, they were like, do you want a double, triple, or quad? I'm like, a quad? That's a thing? And he's like, don't tell people, but we could do quads. And I was like, oh my god. And that bar is kind of like the bar in Roadhouse a little bit. Like, you would expect them to have chain link fence around their stage almost. Like,
yeah. The funniest thing, to do a happy story, but it's not really. When I took Arthur, too, because there's a big bronze horse. Do you know that thing?
Yeah.
But then every time I go there, and the bar's usually, because I'll go right after the show, so it's usually like just starting to get busy. It's busy, but it's not like, you know, fight busy when it is around midnight. But I'll like air jerk off the horse aggressively for like, and I won't smile. Like, I'll do it like, oh man. And it's so, because the whole dance floor will be full, and then by like minute 3, there'll be nobody left, and they'll be like, what the fuck is that guy doing? Like, it's so.
Now I want to go back to Cranbrook.
Yeah. I'm like, I haven't been for like 2.5 years, so I'm really excited to go.
Who are you going with?
I'm going to go because I'm doing a thing in Kelowna, and then Kate Belton had moved out. So
I love Kate.
Yeah, super cool. So I'm just going to pick her up. And
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
She's so funny. Tell her to be careful in Cranbrook, because when I was, this was the thing that happened to me. It was like, there were these two guys that were at the show, and then they happened to be at that bar. And I think I was like 25 or 26 when I was there. And I went with Andrew Gross, and he didn't want to come out to the bar. So I just went out with the waitresses. And these two guys were at the show, were like, oh, we loved you, you were so funny. I'm like, thank you. And then they wouldn't leave me alone. And then they said, can we take you back to your hotel and we'll show you a good time? And I was like, no, I was too young both and too them? New. Both of them wanted to. And I was like, no. I'm like, I don't want to be found dead. I don't want Andrew Gross to have to identify my body tomorrow. So I was like, no. And then they kind of wouldn't leave me alone. But then one of the waitresses, she was the one that was always there. I can't remember what the manager or something. She was awesome. And I said, I'm really uncomfortable. Can you take me back to the hotel? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. So I went back to the hotel, and I'm like in my bed watching TV, and I hear banging on my door. And I was like, what the fuck? And it was those two guys. They're like, let us in. We're here to party. And I was like, I didn't invite you back here. So I called the front desk, and I was like, why are these two guys at my door? How did they get my room number? And she's like, oh, they said they knew you. And I was you don't ever give the room number away, ever. That's happened to me twice in my whole time of staying in hotels where somebody has got my room number that shouldn't have had it. Oh, God,
that's super legal. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I was so scared. Like, I thought I was going to get – and that hotel – do you know that one of the front desk girls got shot in the head once there at that hotel?
Did she die?
Yes, she died. Yeah, they robbed the place and shot her in the head.
Holy shit. Yeah, that one's, because that room's been running for like 20 years.
Forever. Yeah, yeah. Like, years before like I even...
Russell said. Peters did it.
Yeah, yeah, and even sometimes there's, like, maybe two people.
Yeah, I know.
And they
know.
Still and do, like, the show. Do the they're show. Like, yeah. No, we're doing a show. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know.
It's fun. Yeah, I wouldn't... Like, now it's been long enough that I'm excited to go back. Because it's always the same.
And yeah.
It's always, like... That shotguns has been open the same amount, probably. Yeah. But that's scary, man. I'd be scared if dudes were knocking on my door. Like,
it was,
like
and yeah. I'm not the person that I am now. I would have been like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah. Like, I have backbone now, but I was still, like, new to the road and, like, very, like, what the fuck am I supposed to do right now? Like, it was really weird and not a good experience, but.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like.
Jeez.
Like, never, if you work at a hotel, never give away. Like, that happened, the one in Halifax was, I was talking to a guy on Tinder, and he figured out that I was staying at the Westin, because that's where the Yuck Yucks is. He just went to the front desk and asked for my room number, and the girl there told him. So I'm in my hotel room, literally eating a donair naked, because you can't eat a donair with clothes on, it'll get everywhere.
Yeah.
And then he is knocking on my door, I'm like, what the fuck, I'm like, how did you even find me? And then it was just so,
creepy,
awkward and creepy. And then I told, have you done the Halifax Yuck Yucks?
No.
Oh, there's this guy there, John. He's amazing. And I told him the next day, he's like one of the higher ups there. And I said, I don't want to get her fired or in too much trouble, but I think one of your front desk girls gave my room number out without my permission last night. And it was awful. Oh, and he was like, what? He's like, that is so not our policy. I'm like, I know it's not your policy. She fucked up. But don't get her fired.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Don't let her ever do that again. Like, it's no wonder Johnny Depp puts his name as Mr. Donkey Penis down. Yeah. I always wondered why people use pseudonyms at hotels. And now I know. Because I guess anybody can walk up. I'm here for Johnny Depp.
Yeah, I know. And they get, like, some for real stalkers, like, crazy obsessed.
Have you ever had, a stalker or somebody that just wouldn't let it go?
No, I don't think so. Nothing, no.
Nothing serious.
Nothing too crazy. Definitely. Yeah. No, I don't think so.
Do girls message male comics from the internet as much as guys message female comics?
Probably not. I've never done Tinder, so I don't do anything like that. The only thing I've had a couple times where somebody will find me on Facebook and just be like, you're really hot, but I just usually don't write.
You don't even respond?
No, I'll wait like 3 days and be like, thank you for coming. Because usually they're just probably drunk that night.
Yeah,
and
I'll be
like, oh, thanks. Because if they're like, you're really funny, blah, blah, that's cool. But sometimes you can tell it's like her friend took her phone or something. Because they'll be like, you're really hot. Like, it's just over the top. Yeah. And you're like, okay. And it's always not. But I'm not too into the social medias either. So the only way I think people can contact me is for Facebook. So yeah, that'll happen, but nothing too crazy, I don't think. Yeah,
because I always wonder if guys get the kind of messages that, because as a network of female comics, I can tell you your message will be shared with all the other lady comics.
Yeah,
if it's super cringy, yeah. Especially
when guy comics do it, you're like, what are you doing? Yeah. And I know that. And I mean, you hear all that, too.
Like, oh, yeah. There's always, like, that one male comic where all the girls have had... Yeah, he started talking to me on Messenger and would not leave me alone. Like, yeah. And there's always one or two. And they have a reputation, whether they know it or not. They do.
They must know it, yeah. Because I know their reputation, too. Like, it gets around.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what's my reputation like. I don't know. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't think... No, I've never...
I don't think I...
have a reputation for...
I try to stay away from comics. I try my best.
I mean, it's hard because, I mean, you just have so much in common. So it's easy to fall into that thing because it's just almost impossible for somebody who's not a comedian or a stripper or something related to that sort of...
Well, I'm dating a chef now, which is very relatable.
Chefs and comics, same. Very,
very
similar.
Relatable.
Yeah.
Same kind of hours.
High stress environment, yeah.
Yeah, high stress. Like crazy partiers. Yeah. I went out to party with them once and I couldn't keep up.
Yeah, yeah. That's, man, that's, yeah. Several people have said that.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah, I've heard that for sure. And, but yeah, those, I mean, in that, I don't know if it's I think maybe the industry attracts the personality or vice versa, however it works. But yeah, for a normal person, it's hard for them to understand, like, you know, the life and.
Do you want to, like, have a family one day?
Yeah, I feel like now I'm. Yeah, like 35, I can start to, like, sometimes this has never really been a thing in my head, but sometimes I'll see kids and be like, oh, they're like, I used to just not even, just nothing. But I feel the only reason there's like two kind of competing things. One, I don't want to bring a kid into this world, because I grew up kind of poor, and like there was times I felt,
yeah, you want to have some money,
yeah, and I felt like I was, you know, I was a pretty smart kid, I guess, and there was times I felt like, it, you know, in different financial circumstances, like I would have access to better education and all that, and all these, you know, things you could do, and then I mean, comedy's so volatile. I wouldn't wish this upon another human being until it's. It, but then also the flip side is that I feel it's just another dimension to your life, and a lot of people. You know, it's just something, a new experience, and I love, like, kind of experience things. So that's the only thing recently where I'm like, you know, I'm at my job I work, a lot of people are just having their first kids, and they're in their 30s, which is more common now. It used to be,
you know, your 20s, but yeah, 20s. Now it's 30s.
And you know, you could see them kind of change, just the way they talk. They're like, yeah, they turn into, like, fathers, and then I feel like they're my father sometimes too, because I'm still like on the weekend, like, oh man, Prince George strippers, 3 a.m. almost got my dick sucked, and then they're like, oh, like, yeah, but it's growing. I can feel there's a thing, but it's competing with a lot of other things in my life.
Yeah,
so I love comedy way more than I love the idea of a kid. So
I worry so much, like, that if I, because I'm the same way. I don't really want kids, but if I was financially stable, then yeah, it'd be easier to have a kid.
Yeah.
When you have money, it's easier to have children. That's a fact.
Yeah, like, it's way easier. Yeah.
But I look at women, and not all female comics, but some of the female comics just kind of like stop. Yeah. They have the baby and then they stop, which is not true of all comics. There's plenty of comics that are moms, but it's kind of like, I don't want, like, people like, then people look down on you because you're like, oh, she's going on the road and she's got a 6-month-old at home. What the fuck is this bitch doing? It's just like...
Yeah. I mean, you could never worry about what people are saying that. Yeah. And some people, I think they have their kids and they stop. And then they're just like that fulfilled.
Also because they're exhausted.
Life. Yeah. That too.
Good so, Lord.
That's the thing I notice with all the new parents at my work. I'm like, these guys have aged.
Yes.
Like, you know, 6 years in a month.
Yeah.
Like, after that kid's born. Yeah. And you can just see it in their faces and just, and then also I think that it just fulfills a huge kind of gap for some people that wasn't there before, but I don't know. I mean, comedy for me, it's such like a deep love for it that I wouldn't stop. I just couldn't, but it's easier, I guess, either from the social, you know, society perspective for dudes to continue to.
Yeah, it is. You'll get the whole thing of like, you don't make enough money doing comedy, you need to do something else
to
pay for this baby, and like that puts a lot of pressure, you know, on people. I don't know, it's just like it's such a weird thing, because I think I do want to maybe have a family one day, but now also I'm 35, like now it's getting to be too late for me to do that, so maybe if I ever decided eventually I might have to adopt something.
Maybe, yeah, you still got lots of I mean today you're fine, I think, with yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
And then you look at, like, you know, there's people, like, I mean, like, you know, Mike Dambrus, you know, he ended up having almost being sort of a single parent situation, but he's making it work. And
people, he's making it work, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, and people will kind of, comedy's such a crazy community, too, where you just have access to all these, people will help you a lot, like, amongst themselves. So, you know, I see that, and it's possible, but I just wouldn't, I'd want to be, you know, further along, or just like just be like, this is what because I wouldn't bring him into, I can't even take care of myself, I don't even know,
that's people, the thing,
yeah,
like, I can't take care of myself barely, how am I gonna take care of another human being?
Yeah,
like I really want a puppy right now because I think that's a good training.
It is, yeah, and even a puppy, like, you're like, man,
they're a lot of work.
Yeah, you have to be home, you can't go out for more than 8 hours unless you have a backup plan. The other thing too I found with family is like, it's it just helps so much to have, you know, like relatives and people
close,
you know, to look after it. And out in Van, I wouldn't have anything. Even back in Calgary, it's just my parents, which would be a nice kind of, you know, thing. But also, I mean, people I find that have huge families and, you know, aunts and uncles and all that, like all my families in Montreal, I don't really know them, but people I, you know, if you have a kid and you have that sort of family network, you're set.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you can actually have nights off and
do
things. Yeah. So, I don't know, but it is a thought that it never really been in my mind. Yeah, and I think at our age, you just start to feel a bit of pressure where you're like, oh, shit, you should.
It's not even pressure from anyone else, though. It's just from, like, I don't want to be a 40-year-old mother to a newborn. I'll be exhausted from being 40. Like, how am I going to deal with a baby all night? Like, that's crazy.
And I always think that with comedy, I'm like, man, if I'd started, because I just had infinite energy in, like, my 20s and stuff. And I still, I mean, I work, you know, 40 hours a week and every week I worked, like, every single weekend except for 4 in 2016, so it's like always touring and stuff, and it's tiring, but it's really fun. So I don't know. But yeah, even like I did an accounting program, and in like 2015, I spent like $14,000 on booze. I'm like, holy shit.
Oh my
like,
God, yeah, just, you figured that out, yeah.
Yeah, I just like put it in, and then, but then it's, yeah. And then, I mean, this last year in 2016, I was like, okay, I think I cut it down to like $6,000. But, and then you think, you're like, man, 14, it sounds impossible, but it's like $1,000, you know, a month, a little more than that. And then, man, when you're, when I was really going nuts, yeah, it's pretty easy.
Well, when I did, when I stopped drinking last February for a little bit, I did one of those apps where you like say how much you drink on average and how much you drink.
I've been doing that this year, 2017.
Yeah, and I did 42 or 43 days and I saved, it said like $1,600.
Yeah, it's so nuts. And this one, I punch it in how much and I'm like, wow, already? Yeah. Like, but it's, but I would just go crazy before I'd like pay every, like pay the whole tab. I could, like, as soon as I had three or four drinks, I'm like, yeah, buy everyone's drinks. And then, and yeah, then the next day I'm kind of like, but
what did I do?
Yeah, I don't even, I wouldn't even think of it then. But then when you see that number at the end of a year, you're like, well, that's probably the money that would go into a kid.
Yeah.
Like, instead of paying it. Yeah.
You do, and you do stupid things when you're drunk. Like, this, yeah, the kid and drunk related. My boyfriend said that one night I was really drunk and I said, put a baby in me. And he was like, no. And then I'm like, thank God you didn't. I swear to God, don't listen to drunk Kathleen.
Yeah.
Drunk Kathleen has different ideals than sober
I know.
Kathleen.
It's always a good idea. And then like that, because James Kennedy was actually talking about that, where he's like, he said he had a bit where he's like, I'll stop drinking when sober people start having cool stories. But that's like such a, because like there's times I won't drink and then my life gets so together. Like I'm like super organized and works, like I'm on top of everything, and comedies, I'm booking gigs, you know, guys, get some new headshots, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But then nothing happens.
Yeah.
And then I'll like drink and I'll be like, man, that's, story, like, wow, that,
yeah, because your act is very story based.
Yeah,
like you're, think, a great storyteller. You're one of the best storytellers out there, I feel like, in comedy for a style. And like, yeah, you definitely need to live, do things for the story.
Yeah, and I think I've always done that. And then it was funny, it was with Daryl Lennox, and he's like, you're getting too addicted to the story now, because I have the crazy one that just, my newest one on stage for like,
do you about know the guy in Calgary,
yeah, where, yeah, the cops killed him, and then I was like, holy shit, like, yeah. And then so for that one, and again, yeah, I don't want to, because, yeah, it's such a, the story itself is very crucial to being a good story to tell on stage, but then also there's a lot of, you can, should be able to make any story funny.
Yeah.
Enough work, and yeah, it doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a car thief guy story, like crazy things over the top, but yeah, and as, again, as you kind of get to 35, you're like, all right, I don't need to do this insane thing,
yeah,
like, you know, where I'm because the hangovers, that just, yeah, you lose so much of your day then too, like you just,
oh yeah,
the next 3 days just a waste. Because
I've never been a puker, and like last Monday we went out drinking and I puked in some bushes. I'm not a puker at all.
Yeah, I never puke,
but I'm like, yeah, what.
Sometimes I wish I could though. Did you feel better in the morning?
I felt, oh my God, I did. I felt better after. The next morning I didn't have a hangover, like, yeah. I felt like,
that's what I need, but I can't force myself to, like,
well, puking is one of my biggest fears. Most people that like know me really well know I like freak out, like I'm not good with it. Like I had to leave the, like we were at one of Adam's friends' houses and I had to like go out on the front porch and people followed me. I'm like, go away. I was like hyperventilating a little bit, and I'm like, bip, bip. It was not, I don't take joy out of puking. That's
no.
Not, I would be so thin if I did. Oh. I would puke all the time. Oh. But whatever, that's just like a thing.
Yeah, no, I always think of it for the hangovers, because it's like, because there's always that dumb point where you're just, you know, you drink and you're past the point of the night where fun's gonna happen.
Yeah,
and you're just like drinking for the sake of it, and then all that booze is the waste. Like if you could just get rid of that, and then like if there was a point when I was six beers deep where I could just be like, switch to water. But there isn't.
No, it's, because that, you're there and you just keep drinking. Yeah. And again, it also, like at shows like last night, people just kept bringing me drinks and bringing me shots.
Yeah, that's so hard too. And to be like, there's certain shots I won't do. Like, tequila and Jameson. I'm just like, I don't.
I can do Jameson's. I can't do Jaeger. Jaeger makes me black out. If I do,
does it?
Yeah.
Oh,
I did a couple Jaeger bombs last night and I don't remember most.
Yeah, tequila makes me forget. I hate that too, because I don't know. I'll just in my head be like, oh, I went to bed. And then there's this whole other part.
They're like, no, like, you did not go to bed.
Stupid idiot. Yeah, like. Text, just being dumb. And,
yeah, text. Yeah. Or posts on Facebook or posts on Twitter. I do that all the time.
Yeah.
Last night I posted a picture. I ordered Chinese food earlier the day, and I got like a giant jar of sweet and sour sauce. So I posted, I took a picture of this when I was drunk and I put it on Snapchat, and then I wrote on it or something. And it's like a huge tub of sweet and sour sauce next to my head. And where is the thing? I said, some might be embarrassed to have a sweet and sour sauce in their room. I'm not one of those people. I like don't even know why.
Yeah, that's not too bad. You did that, yeah.
You can always tell when Kathleen's been drinking because her posts are fucked up.
They go crazy.
Yeah,
they get really silly. Good enough to. Well, I just don't have any of those things, so it doesn't go in my brain to post on them. Sometimes Facebook, but the rock bottom I hit in Prince George on Friday, where I was like, wow.
Yeah.
After Owen and all the shots. Was like I downloaded like the Pizza 73 app.
That's not rock bottom.
I'm like, holy shit. But when I saw that in the morning, I don't remember doing that at all. Obviously, they were closed and I couldn't get the pizza. But man.
I've got Domino's and the McDonald's app under health in my.
It's under on the
yeah, I have my Fitness Pal. Then I have Domino's and McDonald's.
That's awesome.
Yeah, the McDonald's app is great. You get coupons.
Really?
Yeah, get the McDonald's app. It's really fun. It's a good time. Where can people find you online if they want to like follow you or if they want to come see you live?
Yeah, I mean, the live thing is every Wednesday, Corduroy.
That's, yeah, for yeah. anyone that lives in Vancouver, that show is so much fun. I just did it a couple weeks ago. And
yeah, you crushed it. That was
it was
fun,
really
yeah.
good. That yeah. was fun because Adam was there and I made fun of our relationship.
Yeah, that was oh, man. And then James heckled you, where it's like, suck his dick. And I'm like, why don't you suck his dick?
Yeah, yeah. Like he, yeah, what was that heckle? And I totally burned him and I was so proud of myself.
Real good. Yeah, I was like, why don't you blow him? I can't remember.
Oh, no. Yeah, because I said I feel like a fraud because I always talk about sucking dicks on stage. Oh, yeah. And I can't remember the last time I sucked my boyfriend's dick. And then James started chanting, suck his dick, suck his dick. And then I said, you suck his dick. Pretend he's Kanye.
That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was fun. That was yeah, good. If you're living in Vancouver, and it's such a like it's a small space. That bar is really cool, and I would reserve seats, right? Because it's usually pretty packed.
Yeah, we've been sold out. Like, yeah, it's usually it's almost always
yeah.
sold out now. And lately, it's been awesome. We've had a few shows where it's like 100% just for the comedy. So and then yeah, Daryl Lennox is gonna headline two shows I think for that Fest, the GFL.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we'll do an 8 and a 10 p.m. or something. Try to flip it, so yeah, that'll all come out this week if I get my shit together, get the promo done. Yeah, but yeah, and then I don't know, I don't do too much online stuff, but I'm on Facebook somewhere or like at
Christopher. Chris Griffin, Christopher.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't use any. Chris, of them. I always forget. I don't get Twitter, and then Instagram, I just forget because I do. It's just I don't know.
How many times has an annoying audience member come up to you and called you the fat kid from Family Guy?
Lots. Like, there's like, dude, you totally got to make a joke. Oh, every time.
You got to make a joke about how your name is the same name as the guy from Family Guy.
Yeah. Every time. But then it was funny this weekend. A guy, not funny, but on Monday, I don't know, before on Monday, I was waking up for work and a guy named Chris Griffin got murdered in Mexico.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm glad you brought this up because Lori Gibbs posted
on my wall,
like, Chris Griffin is dead and we don't know if it's our yeah. Chris Griffin or which Chris Griffin is. And then I'm like, what? Because I just seen you at Corduroy. So I knew it. You weren't in Mexico.
Yeah, but I only got 18 people commented. And I'm like, what the fuck, man? This is this. And then the fight when it was solved was because somebody's like, oh, no, the guy that got and the guy's in a picture with his head shot off, but he had no shirt on. They're like, he has abs. So it's for sure not correct. I'm like, what the fuck? This is my life. And three people. Yeah.
Everybody wants to wonder what will happen when they die on Facebook. And now, you know,
I know.
18 people will care. No,
yeah.
That's not true at all.
Man,
that's not true at all. You're a delight. Thank you so much
for
coming.
Super fun.
And I just want everybody to know that Kanye West sucks. Well, I got to the end of the road, burning bridges wherever I go. But I promise you this, I am getting my kicks. So fuck you, this is my bucket list. Well, I got sick of living life, counting down to get from that fight. So I'm learning new tricks. Well, you all take the piss and I'm